Today's share is Masechta Kedushin Daf Lamed Hey, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, five lines from the top of Reuachim and Breika. As we learned in the Mishnah taught us the mitzvahs say Shizman Grama, mitzvahs say that are connected to a specific type, time, women are exempt. We also had learned the mitzvahs say Shaloi Hazman Grama, that are not connected to any specific time frame, women are obligated. We had learned that how do we know, the Gemara towards the end of our shiur yesterday, in previous shiur, had said, how do we know that women are obligated in mitzvah saseh shaloi hazman grama? So the Gemara said, we know it from the mitzvah of ish imay v'avav turo. It's a mitzvah saseh shaloi hazman grama. It's not connected to any specific time. And women are obligated in the mitzvah of Myra of Aim. So from here we see that women are obligated in such type of mitzvahs. So the Gemara asks, we also quoted at the end of our previous year the opinion of Rav Yochim and Breika, where Rav Yochim and Breika taught us that his opinion is that women are obligated in the mitzvah puravu, in the mitzvah of having children. So if that's the case, we now have two mitzvahs to say shloi zman grama. We have two mitzvahs to say that are not connected to any specific time. The mitzvah of moira avaim, of having fear for a parent. The mitzvah of puravu, that women are obligated. And based on that, asked the Gemara, we should now have a situation which we discussed in the previous year as well, that now it becomes Shnei Ksuma Bam Kechad. We have two psukim to tell us that women are obligated in a mitzvah saseh shloi zman grama. And based on that, we should end up saying that women are not obligated in any other mitzvah saseh shloi zman grama. Otherwise, why would the Torah have had to say it twice? So ask the Gemara, Abrechim Abroika, Nami Nehebe Piririvya Moira, should not the mitzvah Piririvya and the mitzvah of Ish Imay Vav Turo be Shnei Ksum HaBoim Kechad Ve'ei Melamdim? And from there we should know that only in those two cases are women obligated in a mitzvah Seh Shalei Zman Grama, nowhere else. Answers the Gemara, that's not accurate. We need both of them. Tzricha. Dikas Rachmana Moira, if the Torah would have only said Moira, but like Kasa Piriviya, not have taught us the mitzvah of Piriviya, have Amina, we would have thought that when the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of Piriviya, says the Kevshua Mrechmana, the pasuk says Purvu Umilus Arzva Kevshua. So we would learn Ishdark. We would think Ishadark Elishkvais. Only a man who goes out to war is obligated in the mitzvah Piriviya. Isha is not obligated in the mitzvah of Piriviya. Of course, the Mefarshim asked the question that we know that the Gemara says that even Chasa Mechupasa, Kala Mechupasa, go out to Mechamas Mitzvah. So the question is, how do we say that women do not go out to the war? So the Ratvaz discusses this question. And the Ratvaz says that when the Gemara says that women go out to war, it doesn't mean that they actually go out to war. Women do not actually go out to war. What is meant was that women have to supply the men who go out to war with all their needs, food, etc. But it's not that women actually go out to war. That's one pshat that the Ratvaz says. Another pshat that I saw is that women are not obligated to go to war in any way. What it's meant when it says that the kala goes from a chuppah is that obviously if the chassan is going to have to leave the chuppah to go to war, so who's going to be the one to suffer the most? The one that's going to suffer the most is obviously the kala, because her husband is not going to be available. He went to war, but not that they actually go to war. Vikas Rachmana Piriviya, if the Torah would have only said the mitzvah Piriviya, the Lake Kos of Myra, that women are obligated, and they wouldn't have said the mitzvah of Moira. Havamina, we might think, ish the sipik biyada lasos, a man who has the ability to do proper kibbutz of aim in, he's obligated in that mitzvah. Isha, the ain't sipik biyada lasos, but a woman who doesn't have that opportunity always, because she has to take care of her family, loy, maybe she should not be chayiv in the mitzvah kibbutz of aim. But kibbutz ain't sipik biyada lasos, since she doesn't have this opportunity, like the sky of klal, she shouldn't be obligated in the mitzvah of kibbutz of aim, mara of aim. That's why tzricha both are obligated. So the Rishonim already asked the question. Yes, in the mitzvah kibbutz of aim, as we've been describing that mitzvah, the mitzvah kibbutz of aim requires one to do different mitzvahs, to do different acts of honor actively. And a man and a woman, as we just learned, does not always have that opportunity because she has other responsibilities. But Moira means that she should not, means that a child should not do things against the parents. That doesn't mean that, doesn't require that you should have to have time for it. If that doesn't require that you have to have time for it, why would we think that women are exempt? So some Rishonim say that. What happens, the Marie Biraf says, we know that one of the examples that the Gemara gave of Moira Avaim is that a child is not allowed to say different than a parent. But let's say a husband demands that a wife should say different than a parent. Because of Shalom Bayis, the halacha is that's what she should do. So here, she's actively violating Moira. Others say that the Charedim says that if the kibbutz and Moira travel together, and if, as we just explained, that kibbutz we could understand she can't always fulfill, therefore we could also understand why she's exempt from Moira. So we learned in our previous year that that the Gemara says we can't learn from Talmud Torah that women are exempt from mitzvah seh shlo yizman grama because there's also the mitzvah pinyan aben, which is a mitzvah say shlo yizman grama, for which women are exempt, and therefore it's shnei ksum habayim keechod, and therefore only those two mitzvahs, which are mitzvah say shlo yizman grama, are women exempt. No other examples. But ask the Gemara, hanicha, this entire conversation works l'man d'amar according to the opinion that says shnei ksum habayim keechod b'lamna, as we explained in the previous year. That once the Torah said it once, it should be enough. If the Torah said it, this halacha, twice, what the Torah means to say is only where it's stated is the halacha that way, not anywhere else. But we said there is a mandama that says that if the Torah says it twice, that is not a problem. Because the Torah sometimes repeats things so that it should be a good source to learn from. So yes, the Torah says that women are exempt from Talmud Torah, and women are exempt from Pinyan Aben, but he doesn't agree with the concept of Shnei Ksum Abayim Kechor Ein Melamdim. So if he doesn't agree with the concept of Shnei Ksum Abayim Kechor Ein Melamdim, we now have a very big question. How will we know that women are... how will we know that women are exempt from mitzvah saseh? How will we know that women are chayiv in mitzvah saseh shlo yizman grama? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Papanoi, said Rava, the Talmid HaChacham who live in Papanoi, Yad Tamilsa. They're able to answer this question. Says the Gemara, Umanu, who is this Talmid HaChacham in Papanoi that knows the answer? Says the Gemara, Rab Acha ben Yaakov. The one that I'm referring to here, he said was Rab Acha ben Yaakov. And this is the way he explains. The pasuk says, Amakra, the pasuk says, V'hoi l'ois ayotcha ul'zikaram ben einecha. Man tia taras Hashem b'ficha. Hukshe kol ha-tarah kfulu l'tfilin. So from here we learn that the Torah, all of the halachs of the Torah compared to tefillin. Ma mit tefillin mitzvah seishas man grom v'nosha b'turis. Tefillin are obviously mitzvah seishas man groma. We don't wear tefillin at night. We don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. From here we learn, afka mitzvah seishas man groma Noshim Peturis. Umida Mitzaseish's man Gromo, Noshim Peturis, that if the Torah goes out of its way to say that a Mitzaseish's man Gromo, women are exempt, Bechlau, what the Torah is trying to teach us is the Mitzaseish Loyas man Gromo, if it's not connected to a time, then the Halacha would be that they're Chayovitz. Because if not for that, why does the Torah have to single out the halacha mitzvah to say shizman grama? So it must be, from here we learn that it's a halacha that only mitzvah say shizman grama, they're exempt, not the other mitzvahs. The Magen Avraham in Simen Tuf Kuf Pei Vav Sifkaten Gimel says, since we learned, we're saying the Kuk Shekala Torah Kula Tefillin, that all the mitzvahs in the Torah are compared to Tefillin, by Tefillin, the halacha is that it has to be minamut bepicha. The leather used to make the tefillin has to be from an animal that's a kosher min, that's a kosher type of animal. So he says, from here we learn that if everything is compared to tefillin, so too will be the halacha in other areas of halacha. That's why he says that the shofar that we use on Rosh Hashanah, the shofar that we use on Rosh Hashanah, should be only from a kosher animal. The Sfas Emes says that if we think about how many parashas there are in the tefillin altogether, so he says there are 5 parashas in the tefillin. There are 4 in the tefillin sharosh, because we know the tefillin sharosh are divided into 4 compartments, and then the 5th is on the hand, the tefillin shayad. So he says the 4 parashas that are in the tefillin sharosh correspond to Bereishis Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. And the parasha in the Yad is the parasha connected the parasha of Dvarim. And he says that the pasuk says, V'hoi la'ois ayotcha ul'taytafis berenecha. And the Gemara says, Taytafis, it represents the four batim. Shekain, the Gemara says, Shekain betat, Africa karen latat shtayim. So you have 2 plus 2 is 4. That's the Teitofes. Tat means 2. And pas means 2. We have a total of 4. Why do we learn from... So the Sfasemus asks, we want to learn the halacha. The Torah wants to teach us that tefillin have to have 4 parshas. Why did the Torah choose to teach it to us from the language that's used in Africa? So he says, because the Torah wants to teach us that wherever we are, not only when we're in Eretz Yisrael, but ever we go, there has to be the Kedusha of the Tefillin. So if that's the case, so why don't we say the same with Tefillin Shliyad? So he answers that the Tefillin Shliyad, as we just said, the correspond to Sefer Dvarim. And at Sefer Dvarim, the Torah begins, Be'ever Hayad and Be'er Tzmoiv Hiskel Moshe Be'er as a Torah hazois. And Rashi says, the Gemara explains, Chazal said, Be'er as a Torah b'shivim loshen. So when we're speaking about Sefer Dvarim, we're obviously speaking about all of the nations of the world. That's because Sefer Dvarim starts with the Shivim Loshen. So the Tefillin, which we're learning now in our Gemara, is the way that we think about the Kedusha of a Jew is wherever the Jew finds himself is very much, that's the lesson of the tefillin, that wherever we are, the Kedusha of a Jew remains. Says the Gemara, Hanicha l'man d'amah tefillin mitzaseishas man grama, the tefillin is indeed a mitzaseishas man grama because they don't apply, but you don't wear them Shabbos Yontav, you don't wear them by night, as we said. However, asked the Gemara, El l'man d'amah tefillin because the real chi of a tefillin, and you can fulfill, according to this opinion, the mitzvah of tefillin. You can wear tefillin all the time. So, Michael Maimer, how can we say that tefillin is the source for the halacha, that women are exempt from the mitzvah, she's man grama? Answers the Gemara, man shamet lay dam tefillin mitzvah shalay is man grama. Whose opinion is it that tefillin is a mitzvah seish lo yizman grama? Says the Gemara, it is the opinion of Rameya. Savla, and he learns, shnai ksuvim habayim kechad, when we have two psukim that say the same halacha, the kosh neksuvim b'alim b'lachod ein melamdim. Therefore, we don't have a problem because we have matz and hakel to teach us that these are two places where women are obligated in the mitzvah seishes man grama. Everywhere else, not. But ask the Gemara or Rabbi Huda m'shneksuvim b'alim k'achel lamamdim. But according to Rabbi Huda, that says that two psukim teaching us the same halacha, as we said a few moments ago, according to this opinion, which we're learning now is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, is not a reason not to learn them as a model for other halachas. And furthermore, his opinion is that tefillin mitzvah say shaloy azman grama. So from where will we learn that women are exempt from mitzvah say shazman grama? We can't learn it from tefillin, and we go and learn it from the shnei ksuvim and b'am kechor, a matzah and hakel. Answers the Gemara, shouldn't have a matzah, simcha, the mitzvah of simcha and the shalosh regalim, the hakel, that women are obligated, the hakel, the mitzvah of hakel that we describe, which is the sukkis after Shemitah, where they gathered in the Beis HaMikdash, everybody, men, women, children, and they read from Sefer Devarim. So now, and women are obligated, so there's shlosh mabuam b'sumim ka'echad, that teach us that only in these cases are women obligated in mitzvah seishas man grama. And from here we learn that any other case of mitzvah seishas man grama, women are exempt. We learned further in the Mishnah, but when we speak about a mitzvah loisasei, their halacha is that men and women are all equally obligated. Ask the Gemara, where do we know this halacha from? Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, V'chein Tana Debei Rav Shmuel, Amar Krob, Isha Isha Kiyas Mekol Chatas Adam. The Torah speaks about people who Chas V'Shalom have done an Aveira, and the Pasuk speaks, says, Isha Isha, men or a woman, to teach us, Hishva Isha Isha, that men and women are equal as for all Lavin. So the Machna asks, why, when the Gemara here wants to teach us about the women not being allowed to violate a lav, does the Gemara use the word l'chol onshim? It should have said l'chol azharis, that everything that we're not allowed to do, men and women are the same. Why does it focus on the punishment element? So, particularly, asked the Machna, because the pasuk here is not talking about a punishment. The pasuk here is talking about chatos. A karma chatos, as we often explain, is not a punishment. A karma chatos is an opportunity. A karma chatos is a kapara. So, explains the Machna, that the pasuk is not here to teach us, the Gemara's purpose is not here to teach us that women are not allowed to do an aveira. It's obvious that women are not allowed to do an aveira. He says, the Torah says so, that women aren't allowed to eat chametz. The Torah is trying to teach us that not only may women not violate any lavin, but they're identical to men, even in the punishment that they're chayif. The Tashbatz says that women are obligated, as we're learning now, not to violate any lav, and he says that that includes, the Gemara Masechta Makkos often discusses, that there's something called the lav she'ein by maisa, a lav that doesn't involve any act. For that, there's no chiv malchus. He says that as far as lav she'ein b'maisa, even if regards that, women and men are the same. There are those that disagree with the Tashbatz. The Beir Belozer Tana, how do we know that women or men are equivalent as far as lavin are concerned? Or makra, ve'elam mishpatim shetasa lefneihem. The Torah says, lefneihem b'loshen rabim. Hishva kasuv. Ish the ish l'chol dinish b'tayra, as far as all dinei mamnis, as far as all of the rules of the Torah that speak about financial obligations, men and women are the same. The bechis katana amakra v'hemis ish. The Torah speaks about v'mshar nagachu, if an animal does damage, v'hemis ish is isha, asha yisoko v'gam ba'olav yumas. So here too, hishva kasuv ish l'isha. So the Gemara has just shown us three different psukim to teach us this concept. Then in all these cases, men and women are the same. Why do we need three different psukim? Says the Gemara Tzricha. The Yashmin Hach Kamaisa, if we would have only had the pasuk regarding the Kamachatas, Mishum Kapara, because as we said a moment ago, the purpose of bringing a carbon is to bring a kapara. So that's why we can suggest the Chas Rachman Allah, the Torah has Rachmanas on the woman, that she should also be able to have a kapara. Ava dinan, when we speak about financial matters, eime ish to buy mas matan. In those days, men typically were those that did business. They're obligated in these types of rules. You have a isha who doesn't typically do this type of business. Loi, v'yesh min ha'im shum d'chiyusa. Everybody has to do business to have what to live from. Aval kaifer, the din that if a sharm mu'ud kill somebody, you pay kaifer. Eima ish the bar mitzvahs. Only a man that's chayiv in all the mitzvahs. That only if a man was killed, and when he's killed now, he won't be able to fulfill all the mitzvahs. That's when there's such halacha. Isha, who's not obligated in all the mitzvahs, then there is no chiyuv kaifer when she is killed. A person whenever was killed, doesn't make a difference if it's a man or a woman. That's why chos rachman aleh, and that's why the Torah treats men and women the same. Aval hanach tarti, when it comes to the other subjects, when it comes to karbonis, or it comes to financial matters, emaloi, maybe there men and women are not treated the same. Tzricha, that's why we need psukim for all of the cases to teach us this halacha. So we've learned now that women are obligated in mitzvahs asei shalai zman grama, and they're exempt from mitzvahs asei shalai zman grama. But we spoke about also that women don't go out to war when men do. This opens up the question, Parsha Zachar, are women obligated in the mitzvah Parsha Zachar? So the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim Simen Tofresh Pehe Siv Zayin, says that women are obligated in Parsha Zachar. And the Shal Tshuvas Binyan Tzin HaChadoshes, Simen Ches, quotes Reb Nosson Adler, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, who explained the why are women obligated in Parsha Zachar. Because even though we always read Parsha Zachar on the Shabbos before Purim, Parsha Zachar is not obligated that it has to be that Shabbos. The halacha is that once a year, as the Magen Avraham explains, we have to Zachar Sha'asa L'cha Melech. And since it's once a year, so Chazal chose that it should be the Shabbos before Purim. But it doesn't have to be the Shabbos before Purim, and that's why it's not considered a mitzvah sasei shezman grama, and women are exempt. But the Avni Nezer does consider it a mitzvah sasei shezman grama, because he says that the mitzvah of mechias amalek is not doicha Shabbos. Unless it's a situation of sakonas nefashos, we don't do it on Shabbos. So we see it's a mitzvah sasei shezman grama. The chinuch say is because the reason women should be exempt is because the obligation of going a mitzvah zechiris mechias amalek means to go to war against Amalek. But women, as we discussed earlier in our shir, don't go to war. And since women don't go to war, they can't be held responsible. Which opens up the question, which we spoke about earlier, do women have to go to war? So certainly, if we follow what we quoted from the Retvaz, that the women don't actually participate in the war, so the halacha is, since women don't have to participate in war, they're not obligated in this mitzvah either. So we have here a very big machlokes if women are obligated in Parsha Zachar or not, and we know that the minhag Yisrael is that women should try to hear Parsha Zachar. The Mishnah said that even though, as we just learned, women are obligated in all the mitzvahs, lois to say in the Torah, there are some that they're exempt from. Chutz v'bal takif, from taking off the payas on the head, or bal tashkis, and taking off with a razor the payas on the beard. The Torah Kedosha says, lo sakifu pas roishchem. And lo pas roishchem means the payas that are by the head. And And then the Torah says, "Loisagala pasukanecha," refers to the payas on the beard. Says the Gemara. And the other one that Torah's Mishnah said was that Kohanim, we know, may not become Tamei. And we learned that two women are exempt from that lav. So says the Gemara. Bishlam abatam lamesim, that a woman who's a bas koyin doesn't have the iser of becoming tamei tomeis the ksiv, because the Torah Kedusha says emel kahana bnei Aaron. So we learn from here bnei Aaron v'loy bnei Aaron, that this applies strictly to the bnei Aaron, not to bnei Aaron. But ask the Gemara about takif, about tashchis menolon, from where do we know that women are exempt? Answers the Gemara the ksiv. Because the pasuk says, "Leisakifa pas roishchem, leisashchus pas konecha." So we learn from here, "Koshi yesh la beshchasa." Whoever could be in the iser of removing the hair from the beard with a razor, yesh la bakafa. V'hari nashi hoyav alei ista beshchasa. That issue of removing the beard isn't applicable to women; they don't have beards. So therefore, they also less the bakafa. The avera of cutting off the payas do not apply to them as well. Ask the Gemara, Manolan the Lisk of Ashkasa, and how do we know that the Isra Ashkasa doesn't apply to them? Ibai Seima, so says the Gemara, as we just said, Sfar, it's logical. The Lay Islu Zokin, they don't have beards. Ibai Seima, Dom Akro, Lay Sakifa Pas Roshchem, Lay Sashkas Pas Sakanecha. Says the Gemara, Midashani Kro Bidibure, Dimke Nikta Rechmana Pas Sakanechem. Why did the Torah say Pas? Why did the Torah, when it speaks about the Peis Roish, say Pas Roishchem? And here it says Pas Zekanechem. Mai Zekanecha. It should have said Zekanechem, just like it says Mai Zekanecha. Zekanecha, to teach us this halacha, just like it says Roishchem, it should have said Zekanechem. Why does it say Zekanecha? To teach us that this halacha is only by a man, V'loi Zekanechtecha, not by a woman. Ask the Gemara, is that true, V'loi? That the iser of removing the beard doesn't apply to women. But Tanya asked the Gemara, doesn't the Braisa teach us? Zakan ish vasaris, if a woman grew a beard, or saris, or somebody who can't have children, grow a beard, shahal sar, they have a beard, hare and kazok and l'chodavrem, they have the full-fledged rule of a beard. My lab, doesn't that mean hashchasa? So Taisus, the very maskal hare asks, that the Gemara Masechta Yevamos that Peyom Abayis teaches us that a person is not identified to be a saris unless he has different simonim that he's a saris, and one of them is that he doesn't have a beard. So how does the Gemara suggest that we could have a saris with a beard? So he answers that once most of the average lifespan of a saris passes, which is 35 years old. Once that passes, he's identified as a saris. And even if afterwards he grows a beard, the halach is that that beard is, that doesn't take away the fact that he's still a saris. So we see that, ask the Gemara, that the iser of ashchasis, a beard, does apply to women as well. Amrabai l'ashchasis l'imotzit amrit. You can't say that the din of shaving the beard with a razor applies to women, because the Yalef, we learn Gzeres Shava. The pasuk says Lo Sashkes as pasuk kanecham, and the pasuk says by the Kohanim upaasa kanim lo yigalechem. So we learned the halacha of Yisrael from Aaron. Mala halon noshim b'turis. When we speak about the beard of the Kohanim, it's certainly only speaking about the males, because the pasuk explicitly says Emer al Kohanim b'nei Aaron. Afkan here too. When the Torah says the iser of the beard, it means loisashkus as pasuk anecha noshim b'turis. Says the Rav Isfir Lon, if we'll indeed hold the key kosev, then when the Torah at the beginning of Parshas Emor says emel kahana b'nei Aaron akula inyonik siv, and the Torah is saying that in all those halachas that are mentioned there only apply to men, nishta kramina. So why do we need a gzeirah shava? Why couldn't we have just learned the following Kal v'chomer? V'anamina, Omar Kohanim, if one by Kohanim, who we know, Reb ben Makosim Mitzvah Yoseris, the Torah always treats Kohanim so much more strictly that the Allah, and the halacha is b'nei Aaron v'loy b'nei Aaron, that this halacha only applies to the men and not to the women. Yisrael, so when we speak about Yisraelim, loikoshke, answers the Gemara, ilav gzeres shava, if we didn't have the gzeres shava of connecting the Yisraelis to the kahan, to the bas kayin, hava mina, we would have said that the pasuk of b'nei Aaron v'loy b'nei Aaron, b'nei Aaron v'loy b'nei Aaron, hifsuk inyan, is only speaking about the halachas of tumah. So we need the gzeres shava to teach us that it doesn't only speak about tumah, it speaks about the din of beard as well, that the din of pasuk anecha doesn't apply by women. So says the Gemara, hashtanami. So ask the Gemara, even if we have this gzeres shava, why don't we say, neima, hifsuk inyan, and the din that the Torah says, the pasuk that the Torah says, emal kahanim b'nei Aharon, will be limited only to the halacha of tumah, that women b'nois Aaron don't have an issa to become tamei. All the other halachas that apply to kohanim apply to kohanis as well. What about the gzeres shava? The gzeres shava meboil lechatanya. The Torah says regarding the kohanim a pas kohanim legalechu. Yochu gilcha b'misparayim. If you cut the beard with a scissor, yichayiv, we would think that you're chayiv for this laugh. Tamalayim loy sashkis, that's why we have the pasuk by Yisrael that says loy sashkis pasuk anecha, means with a razor, not with a scissor, because a scissor doesn't go all the way down. Yochel continues the braisa to say, likta b'malakit amaritni, if you cut the beard with different types of, instruments, which give you a very close shave, the halacha will be yechayif. Tamloim b'hasuk anam lo yigalechu. Hakitzad, what does the Torah say? That what is osur? Giluach sheyesh b'ashchasa. Only cutting in a way that completely takes out the hair completely, which is only zetar. And the chinuch says that if somebody cut his beard with scissors that work like a razor, says the chinuch, I can't say it's an issa daraisa, but it says that it's usur to do anyway. The Ritva says that it's mutter. He says the Al Gemara is saying is that it has to be a razor and only a razor. MK. So it says the Gemara, that's why we need the gzeres shava, but not to exclude women. Answers the Gemara, Imke nichta rechmana, nichta kra, the Torah should write written, l'shashchis eshe b'zakanecha. What does the Torah say, pasakanecha? To teach us, my pasakanecha, shma minotarti. That we learn from here, that the only iser is only what is a tar, and the Tosuk is coming to teach us that it only applies by the B'nai Aaron, by the men, and not by the women. And therefore, once we know that this halacha only applies by men, B'nai Aaron, we extend it to say that it doesn't apply to Israelis either. Ask the Gemara V'alahad Tanya, the Bryce that we spoke about earlier, that said, Zakan he'ish v'soris, that if a woman grew a beard, or soris shalazach, or a soris grew a beard, harei hein kazak l'chol devreim, halachically they're considered like a beard. Ask the Gemara, so what is the Braisa trying to teach us? We're learning now that their beards and the din of shaving the beard doesn't apply to them. And it says the Gemara that's coming to teach us, Amma Mazutra L'tumas Nagoim, that if a woman grows a beard and in that beard that she grew, there's a nega, there's a teras that would make a person into a Metzaira, that woman will be a mitzayra from her. She has all the dinim of nigei zaken. Ask the Gemara Tumas Nagoyim, behedik siva. That we don't need this brisa and this limit for. It's explicitly in the Torah. The Torah says a pasuk v'yishay isha kiyah by nega b'roishay or b'zaken. Ela mazutra l'taris Nagoyim. That when a woman has a nega on the beard becomes tar. The halacha is that all of the halachas that apply for a tumah on the beard to be removed apply by a woman as well.
Ask the Gemara. We don't need this brisa to teach us that. Taras Nagoyim, that the procedure that how somebody has Nagoyim and the beard becomes taller, is pshita, is obvious that it applies to women as equally as to men. Because Kivin Debas Tomahi, if the Torah says that the nega in the beard of a woman makes a woman tomei, so obviously Bas Taharihi answers the Gemara Itzruch. It's not necessary that we would say that. Because since the Pasuk says, at the beginning of this pasuk that we read, Isha Isha Kiyi by Nega Baraisha Bazakin, Sakadat Khamina, we might have explained that pasuk at Stodim, Isha Ish Kiyi by Nega Baraish, that the Torah is treating men and women equally regarding the goyim that are on the head. I Bazakin, but when the Torah speaks about the beard, Hada Asanlish, maybe the Torah is only about speaking about the man, and the Torah is not saying that a nega in the beard of a woman would be a nega. That's why we need the brisa to teach us, no, that the nega in the beard. So the Gemara is going back and saying, we wanted to say that the pasuk is coming to teach us, that the brisa is coming to teach us, that tumas negoyim apply to the beard of a woman. To which we asked, we don't need a brisa for that. We have a pasuk. Says the Gemara, the pasuk we might have interpreted differently. And the pasuk might have been interpreted that it's coming to teach us that the head men and women are the same, not by the beard. Now, because of the brisa, do we know that no, even the goyim of the beard apply to women? Isa tani, Isa learned after lava bal yirkachu that the halacha is, one may not make a cut in the head by a mace, nashim paturus, women are exempt. Ask the Gemara, my tam disa, where does Isi take this halacha from? Says the Gemara Shachi. The pasuk says, banim atam l'shem l'keichem lois is gadadu. And then the pasuk says, lois asumu ben karacha ben einech l'mace, ki am kodesh atam l'shem l'kecha. From here we learn, banim, that only men have the isra of making this cut, v'loi banis l'karacha, not women. At the Omer, says the Gemara, the Brisa continues, is that what the Pasuk is coming to teach us? Bonim l'karcha, that the men have the din of karcha. Aina elo l'gdida. The Torah says that lois is going to do. And the Pasuk is saying that we're not allowed to use an instrument to harm ourselves when we lose a close relative. And maybe that's what the Torah is teaching us, that this is a gdida only applies to men, not to women, but not to Issacharcha. Kishu'ay mekam, kodesh atal Hashem al-kacha, harei gedida omer, says the Gemara, the Torah is teaching us, am kodesh, men and women are all part of the am kodesh atal Hashem al-kacha. So that pasuk is telling us that men and women both have an Issa gedida. Hamanim kayim, so what do we do with the pasuk of bonim v'lay bonais? It's coming to teach us, l'karcha, that women don't have the din of karcha. So ask the Gemara, the obvious question. So we're saying that women are included in the Issa Gedida and they're excluded from the Issa Karcha. Ask the Gemara, Omar Issa L'Rabbis from Am Kaddish, to say that that's a Gedida. The men and women are both included in the Gedida. Well, look, Haitzi, and from the Pasuk, Bonav Le Bonis, we exclude as a Karcha women from Karcha. Why don't we say just the opposite, perhaps? Answers the Gemara, Mar Ben Issa Gedida. The Gedida is a stricter Aveira. Shiyishna, the Issa Gedida applies to any part of the body. Shiyishna b'makam aseir, v'shlei b'makam aseir. It applies to the part of the body where there is hair and where there isn't hair. Or might say, and it's a karcha, shein el b'makam aseir only applies where there's hair. Ask the Gemara, but maybe the way to learn the Pasuk, abon v'lei bonos, means to teach us that both bein l'karcha, bein l'gedida, both by karcha and gedida, are women exempt? I, the ki kosev ki am kodesh l'Hashem l'kecha. It's talking about besrita. The Torah says a besorim l'yisusur teratus hudiksev, that a woman is not allowed to cut in her body even without an instrument, and that's what the Torah means. Answers the Gemara kasavi isi. Isi's opinion is that srita v'gedida achasi. Doesn't make a difference if it was done with an instrument or with a yad. So if a woman is chayiv in Gedida, she should be chayiv in Srita, and so too, vice versa, we cannot differentiate. Our Gemara just spent the shir speaking, this last part of the shir speaking about the Isser of cutting the beard, cutting the payas, and I saw that the Cheshukei Chemed has a very interesting discussion. He says that a person was unfortunately accused of doing a terrible crime, and it's a person that has a beard and a payas. And the question is, before he goes to trial, which is going to be publicized and everybody's going to see it in the newspapers or whatever, and they're going to see a Jew with beard and payas, it's obviously he's going to be a religious Jew, maybe he should cut off the beard and payas because it creates a chil Hashem. And as the Gemara Masechta Yuma, that pei vav amin aleph, teaches us that the biggest aveira, the aveira that Yom Kippur, as the Gemara over there describes, is mechaper on all aveiras, but it's not mechaper on the aveira of chil Hashem. So maybe we should not allow, we should tell this person to cut off his beard. And in fact, he brings down a very interesting story that the Chelkis Yaakov writes. He says, there was a person, Chelkis Yaakov was a Rav in Switzerland. There was a person who lived in Switzerland, and a religious Jew, beard, payas, and he got older, so he moved to the United States where his children lived. And he lived by his children, by one of his children, and he was a very special Jew, and he spent his day learning. So his father, his son, by whom he was living, says, you know, you spend your whole day learning. Maybe you could learn in my place of business. So the father said, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. But I'm going to have to cut my beard off first. Why? He said, and they found out that he cut his beard. Why? Because the son had a store where he sold non-kosher food, non-kosher meat. And what happened was, the son figured that if my father's sitting there with beard and payas in the store, everyone who will walk into the store will believe that this store must be kosher. Look who's sitting in the store. So he says, I don't want to be participating in misleading anybody. So what I'm going to do is cut off my beard and payas. So the same question here is that should the person take off, should the person who was accused and is on trial and creates such a bichel Hashem, the question he discusses is that should he cut off his beard and payas? So he says, of course he shouldn't. The Jew that keeps the beard and payas, as the halacha requires us to do, that is a shmira, that is a protection for that Jew. And certainly this Jew who's on trial is a person who needs a real shmira. And since he's an individual who needs a real shmira, he shouldn't cut it off. He should do whatever he can to mitigate the chil Hashem, but cutting off the beard and payas, he says, is not an option.